Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
If you follow true crime, be sure to follow True Crime Today wherever you download podcasts. There we cover everything in the world of true crime, like major stories such as Chad and Lori Daybell or Alex Murdaugh, to smaller, lesser-known hometown stories that make a major impact on their communities. We take a deep look at the people, places, and psychology in real time that all come together to create these stories. Search True Crime Today wherever you get your podcasts, and press subscribe.
True Crime Today.
It's like any other normal day. Your kid's playing outside in the front. FedEx comes to drop off your Amazon Prime packages, and suddenly your kid's gone. And it seems the FedEx driver that day decided to steal a child. We're going to talk about that today.
Lock your doors and hide your children.
I mean, it's sick. I mean, and the jingle was created far before the story was ever made. But my God.
That's what's really disturbing. Hide your children. No shit. This story will make you want to lock your doors. I had a nightmare last night after I had read this story, and I knew about it before I knew that we were doing it on the podcast. I had seen it on the news, and I had a horrific nightmare that I know had to do with this fucking story. So cheers.
You had a nightmare? That what happened in your nightmare?
Well, I was asleep. I woke up and this is in the dream. I woke up and I realized that I needed to do makeup on somebody for a funeral. And it was this little girl. And I was trying to find just the right shade of pink because that was her favorite color. And I was trying to do her face and it just kept coming out like horribly wrong.
Oh, my God. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know, and I'm afraid to find out.
What does that mean, Stacey? That's weird. I don't think it's like a premonition or like you're getting some sort of message, but there's some sort of insightful thing going on there. Did it look like the girl in the picture?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, because I was watching the news, and obviously we'll dive into the story, but I was watching the news, an entire community at, what's it called, Paradise, Texas?
Yeah.
They did like an entire citywide vigil, and there's pink everywhere and teddy bears like wrapped around telephone poles. And like the entire city is just in mourning over the loss of this child for no good reason. And it just stuck with me. I was even thinking about it as I was falling asleep. I just couldn't get it out of my head. It's one of these haunting stories. Just happened November 30th, I think.
Yeah, and we're going to go into the story here, but I guess I'm hung up on your dream.
I am too.
So have you ever done makeup for a deceased person?
No, but here's the thing. I do work with euthanasia for animals.
Do you ever do makeup on scruffles or anything?
No, that's the thing. I mean, animals, all you do is just close their eyes if they're still open. I mean, you don't put makeup on them. Sometimes you trim their nails so that you can get a really good paw print. You know, if their nails are overgrown and you're not going to get a good print from it in clay. So then you might go ahead and do some grooming and beautification. But no, I mean, I've cleaned paws before. Like if the dog had been hit by a car and there's blood everywhere, I've cleaned up a paw.
Does anybody have their pets stuffed?
I've heard of it. I don't recommend it. I think it's horrifically traumatizing to see your deceased pet there. I think that, you know, it's one thing to kill a deer. It's another to have your pet like stuck to the wall. That's really creepy.
No, I'm not saying like put the pet on the wall. I'm saying like have it like if it's a cat, it's curled up in a thing and it sits, you know, in its place where it always
like in
sat.
Its bed.
Yeah, kind of. I guess it to each their own, and if that's traumatizing or not, it would be traumatizing to me. But I could see to some, it's, I don't know, like, they're still there. I don't know. Maybe it's
I've heard of it. I know you can do it, and there's some taxidermists that you could probably contact about that.
I think I'd get mine posed in like Halloween poses and bring them out at Halloween for decorations, like Cujo or something. But onto this this horrific story here. So this we're getting it from the Star Telegram, the Fort Worth Star Telegram. So it happened in the general area of that part of the country. This FedEx driver Tanner Horner believed to have kidnapped a 7-year-old Athena Strand in a crime of opportunity, as it's being described, while delivering a package outside her home this week. This is according to the Wise County Sheriff's Lane Atkin. Although Athena's cause of death has not been determined, he says, we do believe she died by his hand. Atkin said in an exclusive interview with the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, it does not appear that the child was hit by the FedEx truck. It flat out says that. Okay.
They know.
That was my first thing, because from what I'm understanding, the story gets pretty weird. And my thought was, did he accidentally hit her? And then in panic and confusion and fear, you know, take her and trying not to get caught or something? The complete autopsy results from the medical examiner's office could take a couple of weeks, the sheriff said. Investigators believe Athena died within an hour of her abduction. Asked about Horner's motive for abducting the girl, Atkin said, to me, it's a crime of opportunity. Authorities said Horner did not know Athena or her family. Athena had been missing for about 48 hours when her body was found along the water's edge of the Trinity River near Boyd on Friday evening. Horner confessed to the crime and told authorities where to find her body, the sheriff said. So he flat out,
he did it.
Atkin said he doesn't expect further updates Saturday on the investigation, which is almost complete. Law enforcement is working to turn the case over to prosecutors to formally file charges. Horner is expected to be charged by the state of Texas with a capital murder of a person under 10 years old and aggravated kidnapping. He isn't expected to face federal charges. The FBI provided valuable assistance in the investigation. Pretty open and shut. Investigators have had conversations with the district attorney's office about seeking the death penalty in this case, the sheriff said. Horner, 31, is from Fort Smith. He does not appear to have any prior criminal record anywhere. He remained in the Wise County Jail on Saturday with a bond set at $1.5 million. Not clear if he has an attorney. FedEx speaking out. They're going to have a giant freaking lawsuit against them. A statement.
That kind of makes me sad. It's not their fault. I mean, it's a Christmas season. They're busy. They're hiring people. You don't fucking know if someone's going to snap one day and murder a child.
You don't. But do you have, I'm assuming you have insurance for something like this for employees that go nuts, one would think. I mean, I'm sure they're big enough to absorb whatever it is, but it's not FedEx's fault. It's a crazy fucking person's fault. Nothing at FedEx. I think that, I don't know. Everyone's going to argue that one too. Like, well, what if he's pushed? There's no pushing too hard to make you fucking abduct a kid.
No. And sorry. I'll tell you, when I worked at the vet clinic in town, we had a FedEx driver because our lab samples would get sent out to another city. And we would send him overnight on FedEx. And he was the greatest driver. He would come in, you know, once in a while, if we were busy, we didn't have the package ready. So we would offer him treats, like, mm-hmm. you know, vet clinics always have food on hand. And so we would offer him cupcakes or whatever. And we would just sit and bullshit. And he was a great guy. And he was never a jerk. And you could always see that, you know, if you needed something, Ray would be there. Ray's the kind of guy that would just show up for you. And I've seen pages on Facebook and Instagram, UPS drivers. Like they have an entire page full of dogs that mm-hmm. they visit throughout their routes, you know, and they bring them bones and the dog will come up and greet them. And I mean, these are people who are just hardworking people and who, you know, they get paid handsomely for their work. But for the most part, they're decent people. I mean, there's nothing that attracts some sort of element to this job, you know?
Well, it's an interesting observation. Some of the most nice, personable people I interact with on a daily basis are my FedEx and UPS people.
Exactly. And they're hardworking people.
And what's interesting in observation about all this is you go into any store almost these days. And again, there are exceptions. There are good people out there. I'll say that. But I'll tell you, percentage wise, most of the time you walk in and ask a question to somebody, number one, they look extremely put out. Number two, they have no idea how to answer your question other than picking their phone up and going to the store's website. And they don't know where nothing is in a store. They don't want to even walk you there sometimes or have it because they don't even know. Or they'll just guess and kind of swipe you away. And they're just walking around. They could say, oh, the taquitos are right. They're 5 feet from me, but I'm gonna go online and find this. And if I can't find it, well, I guess we don't have it. You know, did you type it in right? Well, let me look. No, but again, I think this also has a lot to do with the health of the people in our country. And I'm not one to preach or throw stones because I could certainly use a hell of a lot more exercise than I get. But I'll tell you, there is something to it. If you're out there, you're moving and you're doing that shit all day. It picks you up. It gets you in a good mood. It makes you a better human being for yourself, for your own health and mental health and physical health and those around you.
It's endorphins. Yeah,
exactly.
It's a physical way of boosting your body and your mental health. And they don't have time to fuck around. These jobs are serious. They are on a tight schedule.
Exactly. No, I mean, it's got to be incredibly good for that. And, you know, keeping yourself in shape and hopefully mentally in shape, too. I mean, I'm sure that can be a stressful job. But yes. I think once you kind of get it going, I know so many people who just stick with it forever because it's like, keeps me in shape. I like doing it. I can do it well. And they, you know, there's a good retention on some of those jobs. FedEx issued a statement late Friday saying words cannot describe our shock and sorrow at the reports surrounding this tragic event. First and foremost, our thoughts are with the family during this most difficult time, and we continue to cooperate fully with the investigation and with the investigating authorities. At this time, any further questions should be directed to law enforcement. So, wow, what the fuck? I don't even know where to begin, where someone would just decide, let's grab this kid.
To me, they're saying it's a crime of opportunity, but at some point in your life, if you're going to go down this road, didn't you cross that path one other time? I mean, I don't feel like you just go, wow, nobody's watching this kid. I'm going to take her.
Well, I guess, I mean, it says
I feel like it has to have popped up at some other time in your life that you want to do this.
If that's what happened, if that's as simple as it was, he literally grabbed the kid and brought her in the thing. Although I don't know why it wouldn't be publicized, you know, if he came in and admitted to it wouldn't be publicized that he says, you know, I accidentally, hit her with the car or something. Maybe something happened. Maybe he was carrying a box and then he bumped her and she fell and hit her head on the concrete. Yeah. And there's a lot of ways a person could inadvertently get injured in a very freak way. And then someone freak the fuck out and take the body thinking just in a complete stupor and lack of any sort of good judgment. I don't know. I mean, I'm that seems to be like logically where this would go, but I don't know. This really could be someone who does or has done these sort of things in the past, gotten away with it. The fact that she died so quickly almost makes me think that there is something unintentional that occurred here.
Well, what really hurt my heart when I read this story, excuse me, not just that a little girl died needlessly, but I creeped on this guy's Facebook page because the site that I was on had a link to it.
Mm-hmm.
And his profile picture is an infant child and it looks like it's his. And I just, how can you have that kind of evil in your heart that you've got your own child and then you took somebody else's? I don't know I can't reconcile that.
And I see when you look at mugshots, because we're really no strangers of looking at mugshots on this show. There's usually something in them that you can go, yep, that's an evil person. I don't know. There's something. There's an intuition there on that. When I see his, I don't get that. I just kind of get this, like, I'm a fuck up and
he just looks like a dork.
Yeah. And something happened. I don't know. I don't get, I went out that morning with the intention of abducting a 7-year-old and killing her.
I don't see evil, you know, just looking at him. He just looks like some, you know, maybe ding dong guy that works on his car and has, you know, just
does
his own thing. And I don't mean anything bad by that, but we all have that cousin that, you know,
we all have a cousin Eddie.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. You know, he slides out from underneath the car to say hi to you and that's all you ever see him.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm completely and utterly wrong here. I guess we're just gonna have to wait till the details come out as to what he says happened. And then determine if that's even accurate or not. I mean, he said he's guilty. He said he did it. How, why? I guess that would be the part, just to have some context. Obviously, none of it makes it right or anything of that nature. However, that child ended up dead in his possession. There's no way to connect the dots where there's going to be a logical explanation or an acceptable one. But I just want to know how those dots go because it doesn't make any sense. Florida man arrested after using an Uber to rob a bank in Iowa. And then he carjacked a driver. The world, I swear to God, is getting so much like Grand Theft Auto, the video game. I remember when that game came. I've played that game since it came out in like 1997 or so on the computer. Yeah. That's how old the damn thing is. And I remember there was like the 3D version of it that came out when I was like 18 or 19. I played it in my apartment there in Wausau. And I just remember like kind of being shocked at how extreme it was. But then that became the norm. And now there's been far more since then. And it's just, it's this world where you can do almost anything if you've never played it. And there's all sorts of shit like this where you can get the Uber, go to the bank, rob the bank, carjack somebody on the way out. And that's, you can just do it. And there's nothing, it's how the game works. It's like, do anything you want. And
you understand that it's a game. It's not real life.
I do,
right?
But I feel like since that has like been like the what has been through many young male's mind over the last, you know, two or three generations, the more and more of the world is turning into Grand Theft Auto in terms of what they're doing and the way people are, the shootings, everything. It's just, I've never been the person like to blame video games for anything. I remember being a kid and my mother freaking out about Mortal Kombat.
But, right.
But I don't know. And it's not just video games. It's just the desensitization of everything, I think, is really what it comes down to. Florida man, this story from Who13, because what better to have a TV station that sounds like an owl? The only one I can beat it with is the one named Cake in Wichita, Kansas.
That's just so wrong.
Cake. Yeah, this sounds serious. A Florida man has been arrested for the robbery of a Des Moines bank on Wednesday. It's always a Florida man. Javier Rafael Camchio Cepeda, 22, of Bradenton, Florida, was taken into custody around 6 p.m. Wednesday night by the Lake County, Minnesota Sheriff's Office. Camchio Cepeda has been charged with 2 counts of robbery in the first degree. According to police, he was only 2 hours away from the U.S.-Canadian border, so he was on his way out. Right after the robbery, authorities say Camchio Cepeda pulled a gun on an Uber driver that drove him to the bank and stole the driver's car. Then he headed north on I-35. Fucking idiot.
The weather wasn't good in Minnesota either recently. So here you got this Florida man who's in a stolen car tooling toward the Canadian border. It must have been quite the event.
A stolen Uber car, too, which more than likely has some sort of GPS device on
it.
That's going to let you know where the fuck it is. The cars to steal. Let's pick the one that is most likely, other than a police cruiser, to have a tracking device on it.
Yeah, they have GPS because it shows you how close your Uber driver is to you. It lets you know that they're arriving because you can see it on a map.
They were able to gather some information at the bank and then couple that with the information from the Uber driver to figure out very quickly who our suspect was. Sergeant Paul Parizak with the Des Moines Police Department said, we've got some technology resources available to us and then just some good investigative skills that we're able to determine he was heading to the U.S.-Canadian border. You have GPS. That's your
That's what your skill is.
You have GPS. And someone who said, let's track the GPS. There's the investigative skills. I love how that was spun, though. That's a good one. After the robbery, the Uber driver did not know his passenger jet just robbed Chase or his passenger jet. I said passenger because there was an ad. There was an ad right below it for a jet.
Nice.
And, or for flying for an airline. So I saw passenger jet and said jet.
You know, you can tell the kind of life you lead because you know what's on mine right under that?
What?
The ad that I've got is for a pencil sharpener.
I'm not flying anywhere right now. Yeah. The only thing that makes this unique is that you don't, you know, he took the Uber there and he took the Uber away, says Parizak. According to the Uber driver, there wasn't a lot of indication that anything had gone wrong while he was in the bank. It's not known how much money he robbed from the bank. Nobody was hurt during the robbery, police said. Well, good for him for getting arrested. That's a good one.
One hell of a ride, wasn't it?
You know, if you're going to have the gumption to go rob a bank, at least do a little research on, you know, best practices or something. I wonder what happens if you if you Google best practices for robbing a bank.
Well, should I do it?
Let's put it on your search.
All right. I'll do it.
Best practice.
Let's see. God help me. So we have this podcast as proof if the cops show up going, you know.
I never did that episode. I don't know what she's talking about.
Right. Oh, yeah. You'll just delete the whole thing.
All content.
How to rob a bank. That's what I'm typing in. How to rob a bank. Oh, there's a Wikipedia.
Oh, my God. Like literally how to rob a bank or bank robberies.
Let's see. I'm clicking on it. Oh, it's an independent crime comedy film. So hang on. Let me look. Let me scroll some more. Vice TV. How to rob a bank. Every day, 14 banks are robbed in the U.S. Learn the rules of how to rob a bank from robbers themselves.
Hey, give a little guide there. They should sell that online as like a booklet.
This booklet. They really should. There's an actual episode on Vice TV of how to rob a bank.
Oh.
Wow.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
See, I could never do that. You can identify me in a crowd. I'm under 5 feet tall.
They'd have to. You could. But here's your advantage. You can get through the crowd without being spotted.
That's true.
You can just move through it like a tremor.
No, I've never tried it.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, the other thing is, I know that that's not the route. That's not the crime you want to do. I mean, you need to do something like a long and slow burn over many, many years of embezzlement. That's how you rob a bank. You don't just walk in with a gun. There's cameras everywhere. There's security. There's, you know, they're going to give you $300 and you walk out and then you're caught. No, you need to be like a CEO of a company and just pilfer money for like 20 decades.
Well, when people rob a bank, do they really think they're going to get like hundreds of thousands of dollars? I mean,
no, it's not like in the old days where they're going to go clean out the entire vault. No, it's they give you what they got in their drawer and it's a couple hundred dollars and that's it.
And it's there on purpose to be little. They have to, many times they have to go to the machine and go get it, you know, pushed out. So, I mean, I don't know. Is this, maybe that's part of the stupidity of a bank robbery is that they think they're going to get like, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Maybe they'll get 10. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't know. I don't think drawers even hold that much. I think the drawers are like a couple hundred and that's it. And then other than that, it's go to the machine and the machine's not going to give money, you know, to anybody. So I don't know. It's
no, it's not a lucrative way to get a whole bunch of money. I mean that if you need tons and tons of money, there's other things you can do. I don't know what those things are, but I would think there would be some money in robbing a pharmacy and getting a whole bunch of drugs that people want and then selling them on the streets. To me, that would seem like you could get more money moving walking into a bank with a gun.
Stacy has contemplated these things, and that's why.
Well, times where you're sitting in your recliner on a Sunday and you're like, I fucking hate my job. I don't want to go to it tomorrow, but how can I get some money?
Yeah.
And then it crosses your mind. You're like, no, that's the stupidest thing I've ever thought of in my life. You know, but I've thought about it. Could I ever do it? Not a chance in hell. And that's where, you know, like reality comes into play that, first of all, I'm a rational human being. I'm not going to walk into a bank with a gun and ask for, you know, whatever money they have. It's not a good route to do it.
No, Stacey's going to get a job there and slowly pilfer the drugs out of the pharmacy. And that's her strategy on this
one. I will tell you what I did do when I was younger. This is true confessions. Do you have any confessional music?
I got something here. We're here. Let's see what we can find. There we go.
That'll work.
Go for it.
Okay.
Okay. Now, Stacey's true confession.
Okay. So when I was in my very early 20s, I was doing bookkeeping for a drugstore in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And no, I wasn't stealing from them, but I was noticing the scratch-off tickets. The very first ticket and the very last ticket of a batch, we had to scan it. This was pretty high tech back then. You had to scan with a barcode scanner the first and last ticket. Mm-hmm. Those two tickets were always winners.
No shit.
So, and I just was watching it. I'm like, we'd put a new batch in and somebody buy a ticket and they fucking win. Or if it was like they let, you know, the bookkeeper know, hey, we're almost out. This whole batch of 500 tickets or whatever it was, we're almost done. We're down to the last ticket. Can you bring another batch? And you'd come up and someone would buy the ticket and they fucking won. And I'm like, what is going on here? So I started buying the first and last ticket. I amassed $3,000. This was back in the late 80s.
So there,
no, it was early 90s.
The way of printing the tickets may have changed a little since then.
I'm sure it did, but I was watching. So it was like I was counting cards, you know, in a way.
Yeah. I mean, basically, there was probably just a simple formula as to however many number of tickets is a winner. And it probably started, you know, at the front of the batch. And if the formula typically was the front of the batch has a winner, it starts there and then skips, and skips and winner and skips and skips and yep. skips and winner. And there was probably a logical pattern to it at the time.
I felt really bad. I mean, I felt like I was cheating the system. I had information that other people didn't have because I was in charge of these stacks and stacks of tickets.
That's genius.
So basically, and you couldn't open a batch until you scanned the ticket and put it into play. So there was some way that they were tracking, like...
Yeah, basically said like X ticket number to X ticket number was sold at this store.
Right.
And that's kind of how it was. You're getting the front and the back of the batch so they know where it's located.
Exactly. So I was very calculated in. It was no big deal to buy the first ticket, but I had to kind of sit and wait to turn in that last one until that batch was almost done. And I was purchasing them. I wasn't stealing them, but I was definitely tracking how often those batches were moving out. And it became like an obsession with me. Like if I saw that they sold so many scratch off tickets and we were getting down to the bottom, I was like perched and ready. And I took shifts. I took working shifts. Like on a weekend so that I could be there if that batch ran out. That's how, because I'm like, this is working. This is doing it. I paid for half a car with that money back then.
I love it.
I'm a fucking criminal.
I would have done the same thing.
I wasn't doing anything criminal, you weren't, but it felt that way.
You just figured out a system. That's all you did. You made an observation and you were using that to your advantage. You were buying the tickets. You observed it. Big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, if you observed a stock that you thought was rising and you had no insight, well, it truly wasn't inside information there. There's no one from the Wisconsin Lottery or Minnesota Lottery that said, by the way, the first and the last tickets are winners. You just figured that out on your own.
Yeah. And it was just a matter of, you know, doing the bookkeeping I was in the right place at the right time and would see people get that first ticket and that last ticket. And I'm like, they're always fucking winning.
Yeah.
Wow. So I thought, well, I'm going to try this experiment and I'm going to buy that first and last tickets and I'll be damned if I wasn't winning like 250, 500.
Did you ever tell a customer like, I want, give me one of them leprechaun lucky laces. I like those. You get the three leprechauns and the laces. You win yourself a a blow-up leprechaun sex doll and $500. I'm hoping to get that. Did you ever, like, push somebody away from a ticket that was the front or the end?
No, but I made sure that I was somewhere near the checkout when those tickets were getting, you know, when they were dwindling. I found a reason to, hey, why don't you head off to lunch? You know, I'd cover your lunch. I was such a great employee. I was always helping the employees out. You know, why don't you take your lunch? I'll cover for you. Well, I had a fucking reason.
Yeah. And then there's
one of those tickets.
And there's an old lady that comes up and, you know, is like,
hi, dearie. I would like one of the Pinocchio Connect Fours, please. And I've been saving quarters up that I've been picking up on the side of the road as I collect trash. And I keep our community beautiful, and I found a couple dollars, and I thought, oh, I'd tickle my fancy and have a little fun with the lotto.
And then there's Stacy.
And then I shove her over. Get out of my way, you little bitch!
Exactly.
Oh, no need for the bad words, my dear. Whatever have I done to you?
Yeah. Give me that fucking ticket!
Ah! She's hurting me! She's hurting me!
This is what happened. And then I think,
yeah, I never had to fight a little old lady with her cane and her walker and her little poodle. I never had to fight anybody. Like I said, I was always perched nearby those tickets when they were starting to dwindle because I got them.
Well, I think that's pretty cool that that was how that all worked for you.
I bought a Dodge Neon with that money.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I think this could be how it would have ended, though, had you attacked a little old lady.
I got my oxygen tank here, bitch, and a lighter. Look out!
Little old lady, yep. Blows the joint up because Stacy's still in a lottery ticket. Wow. Well, there you go. Well, that's today's edition of True Crime Today. If you have a time machine and can go back to about 89, you'll have a chance at doing pretty well in the lottery and possibly winning yourself your very own Dodge Neon. So
it's like Back to the Future.
Do they still make neons? Is that? I remember those. Those are kind of cool. All right. Thank you guys for listening to the program today and keeping us on the air. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Get advanced episodes of the show, commercial-free, the archive, and access to our other programs, including the podcast that we're doing, For Killed For What? The University of Idaho Murders Podcast, taking a deep dive into that absolutely horrible case. You get access to that as well, but when you become a supporter on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, for Stacy or Tony, thanks for listening. Oh.